German historiography of World War II has gone through three prominent phases of theory: intentionalism, structuralism, and post-structuralism. The intentionalist theory was first used by historians who studied the Holocaust in Germany in World War II in the early 1950s, in which scholars drew a direct line from decisions and ideologies of Hitler to the actions played out during the Holocaust. Later on, structuralists began to criticize the simplistic viewpoints of this theory and start to research the complex web of leaders and workers who helped to contribute to these events, oftentimes diminishing Hitler as merely a figurehead that lower powers wanted to please. So the third and most modern theory is post-structuralism, which applies structuralist theory, but also understands the influence that Hitler's ideas played on the party and the politics of the time, basically combining the two theories together. In the 1960s, around the structuralist period of German history, a new form of history was taking place. This was social history. Social history was a movement that shifted gear from politics and leadership and began to look at a bottom-up approach of history, meaning that the ideology of the society shaped the politics of the time. With this was the emergence of the history of childhood, which became very popular in looking at the Holocaust. German historians in the 70s and 80s used a structuralist approach to understand the influence of the Hitler Youth and the League of German Girls, the two prominent youth groups during the Nazi regime. But it was not solely structuralist, because they had large influences of the social history and the history of childhood behind them. Early historians on this topic tended to lean towards a mixture of the structuralist theory in looking at the web of Nazi leadership with the social dynamic and class compositions of the different Nazi groups. The strongest example of this appears in Peter Starchura in the 1973 article in which he recognizes the intense leadership, but attempts to suggest that the regulations were not as comprehensively applied to the camps and that it was doubtful that the children followed the ideology of the party wholeheartedly. In the piece, unfortunately, he is missing a lot of primary source evidence for these theories, so they are not as entirely convincing as they could be. But it did open the door for many historians to critique and expand on these ideas, such as Daniel Horn in 1979 and Gerard Rempel in 1989. Both of these historians and their critiques agree that the degree of regulations was not as involved as the records would suggest, but instead of chalking it up to a youthful negligence, they look at these classes involved in the Hitler Youth and how the Nazi regime was influenced and reacted to each class ideology and their evolution. These social structuralist historians do not go as far as to say that ideology of the society influenced the direct leadership of Hitler and the Nazi Party, as the social historians would suggest, but they definitely stray from the mainstream structuralist approach of looking at leadership webs and party dynamic, but instead look at class and membership dynamic of the youth and the relationship between the youth and the members of the Nazi Party that were put in charge of the Hitler Youth and the League of German Girls and how they influenced each other.